welcome to The Christ Life. We are glad that you are joining us. We are very excited over the next 2 weeks to be able to really talk to you about fruitful living. We've got to kind of do a little bit of pre-qualifying here because, you know, we live in a part of the world where the idea of fruitful living is found in the Declaration of Independence, the right to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. And so the idea in most Americans' minds, now you may be watching this not in America, but in Americans' minds, the idea of fruitful living is the fulfillment of that. Yet the Lord had something and has something so much greater for you and I than that. When I was growing up, we grew up in the state of Washington, about 50 miles northeast of Seattle, in the foothills of the Cascades. There were miles and miles and miles of nothing but woods. And so a big part of where we lived was logging. And as we grew up, my dad a couple times went to the local sawmill and got the wood for the year by what's called endlings. They would shave the logs and they would have the ends. And that just all left a bunch of little wood. And they would bring by the dump truck load wood to our house and dump it in our driveway for us to stack. It was such a joy. Not even close. But anyway, we were stacking in one particular time, and our youngest brother was gone. And we yelled out to him, you know, "Where are you?" And he's on the other side of this large dump truck size pile. He says, "I'm over here." And he hadn't been doing anything. And we're like, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm looking for wood." Now, you know, granted, he was probably six or seven, and in his mind, he was looking for the right piece of wood. He was looking for the one that was going to fit perfectly. But from our vantage point, he's over there being of no help to us whatsoever. And for him, it's a matter of maturity. But I tell the story because there are a lot of people that go through life, and because of their lack of maturity in their Christian walk, they're just looking for fruit. They're trying to find the perfect fruit for their life. And that's not what the Lord has in store for you. First of all, the fruit isn't even something that you work for. It's just, and this is kind of what we're going to unpack this week and next week. There are two principles. One we'll look at this week. The other we'll look at next week. The first one that we're going to look at this week is we really just want you to commit to the connection. That's what we're going to unpack for you today. Next week, we're going to talk about the ability to abide. But this really all comes out of John chapter 15. So let's pick this up. We're going to read the first eight verses here in John chapter 15. Jesus says, "I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." Let me read that last sentence for you again. "By this my Father is glorified." The owner of the vineyard is glorified when the vineyard produces fruit. That's the essence of fruitful living. It's the producing the fruit that makes the Heavenly Father glorified, that brings joy and gladness to his heart. And here's the great thing about it. He has set that up for that to happen. He has chosen you. He saved you. He's moved you into the life of Jesus so that you might bear fruit, so that he might be glorified. This speaks of ultimately the expectation of the Heavenly Father, because he's the one that owns the vineyard. It's all his. And when we begin to understand that reality, we sing things, and maybe you've sang things like, "Our life is not our own." But what we sing and what we say and how we live, oftentimes they don't match. They're fighting against each other. Ultimately, when you talk about the living a fruitful life, it really has to do with starting with this understanding of who the Heavenly Father is, that He's chosen you, He's chosen me, He's chosen you to bear fruit. And not just bear fruit, but to bear much fruit. And not even to bear just much fruit, but to bear fruit that remains. And that really is what the ultimate fruitful living is about. But it's established with this understanding that the Father expects it. He just expects it. And so the enemy is always going to try to do things that will to get you sidetracked off what the Father's expectations, whether they're your expectations or what you think is right for you, or their cultural expectations that are trying to live up to the Declaration of Independence and this right that every American has. It's all a distraction to keep you and I ultimately from really giving the fruit and developing, having the kind of fruit that the Father expects in our life. Another story that I was reading about last night, I just had to chuckle about. It was about an old lady that was coming out of the grocery store. She's come out of the grocery store with her in her bags. And as she's walking up to her car, she sees four guys in her car. And she's kind of had been already kind of just kind of complaining and musing about the crime going up. But she was, you know, probably a Texan or an Arizonan where, you know, she was already Clint Eastwood style. She had a pistol in her bag, and she walks right up to that car and she pulls the pistol out of her bag and she points it at him and says, "Get out of my car. I have a gun and I'm not afraid to use it." And the four guys, without hesitation, jumped out of the car and run off. And of course, you know, she may have looked all confident on the outside, but she's shaking. She puts her bags in the car and she gets in the driver's seat and she thinks it's because of her shaking hands as she's trying to put the keys in the ignition. And it's at that moment that she discovers that she's in the wrong car. And she sees that a few spots over is her car. So she gets out of the car and puts her grocery bags her car, and she gets in her car and she just kind of just ponders a moment, and she knows that she's kind of messed up. And so she actually drives to the police station, and she gets to the police station and she goes up to the counter. And of course, she's all embarrassed and feeling bad. And she says, "You know, I didn't realize what I was doing, but I pointed my gun and really scared four guys." And the guy behind the counter goes, "You mean those guys?" And right down the counter are the four guys that had jumped out of the car making a complaint that a grandma, Clint Eastwood, pointed a gun and stole their car from them. Now, here's the point. The point is simply this, that be sure you know what you own or be prepared to be embarrassed. Let that sink in. Now, you may not be embarrassed today, but there is going to be a day that we're going to stand before the Heavenly Father. And when you think that you own your life, when you think that your life is all about God making you comfortable and blessing you so you have everything your heart's desire in this life, you're going to get to heaven and there's going to be a moment of embarrassment when you recognize that your spiritual maturity had not matured to the place where you were able to say, "This life really isn't my own. And my Father has an expectation of fruit coming through my life. So I need to make sure that I am living my life in Him." Why? Because when I do live my life in Him and He is in me, then we bear much fruit and then the Heavenly Father is glorified.
That's awesome. I think I've met a few of those Clint Eastwood grandmas in my day. They scare me too. But this picture in the days when Jesus ministered and in the society in which Jesus ministered would be really kind of germane to the way they lived, because they lived an agricultural life. They lived in an agricultural community and society. And even if you were in the city, you were surrounded by the vineyards. You understood the nature of these kind of things. And that's really why Jesus uses this illustration, because it really pictures something that we may not be in our modern society or in our modern times that familiar with, but the locals, those who were hearing this word, would have been able to just immediately pick up on that. Because not only had they seen the vineyards, but they've also seen the vine dressers. They've seen the people who are tasked with pruning and cutting these and joining, grafting a branch that is unproductive into the vine. And the whole concentration is the connection. And that's why we're really focusing on that today. The concentration is the connection. There has to be some cutting here in order to fit this branch into this vine. There's cutting on the vine that has to take place. Now that, again, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that the sacrifice of Christ, the cutting that Christ endured, the suffering that he endured has made a place for you and for me, for all of us to be grafted in, to be in Christ. But there's the beauty. We then are in him. And when we concentrate on the connection, the expectation of that is that whatever is in the vine, the life, the sap, the stuff that makes it a grapevine, or makes an apple tree an apple tree, or a pear tree a pear tree, the life that is in it begins to flow then, because the connection is well done. The life that is in the vine then begins to flow into the branch. Branches don't sweat. They don't struggle to bear fruit. If I could just bear, you know, some peace and some patience and some gentleness and some love and some faithfulness. No. It's in him. It's in Christ. And if we concentrate on the connection and we commit to the connection, this is where we then begin to find the life of Christ that starts to flow into our lives. And it is God's expectation of our lives. It is his vineyard. He owns it. And so we don't have any right to just, well, I want to be an apple. I want to be an orange. I want to be a cucumber, or whatever you want to be. You want to be like Christ. We call these Christ-like truths because this is all we know. And this truth of the life that is in Christ and that is available to whosoever will, all of us, is because that's where life is. He is the life. Our life is in him. Everything we need for life and godliness is in Christ Jesus. And so make no mistake, we're committing to this connection with Christ. We are, and he has every expectation that we do that. I mean, that's what he's commanded. It's not about keeping the rules and the regulations, or what church you find, or even if you find a right video to help you and strengthen your relationship with God. The reality is that your connection to Christ. So there's something that's been cut inside of him, and there's a conviction and a cutting that's going to come unto us about this truth. And that's going to form the foundation for this powerful connection that we have. And that's what the Father expects, because in another word, beyond expectation, that's the revelation. There's the truth. And here's what Jesus says in verse 3, and I love this. He says, already, now, you're already clean through the word that's been spoken to you. So here's the entry point. What do I have to do to get in? Believe, trust the word of the Lord, because the word of the Lord is true. And he's already provided this opening. He's already given you the opportunity. He convicts us. He convinces us of not just our sin and our struggle and our lack of ability to produce and to be fruitful apart from him. He convicts us of that, but he also convicts us of the cutting of Christ. He convicts us of the place that he's made for us in the vine, in this place, in this relationship with Jesus. And so we say, yes, as many as receive him, to them he gives the power. And in this picture, I think it looks just like this. He cuts that away, and he's already cut this, and so he puts them together, and then he unites us so that the life of God can begin to flow through us. But we're ready when he says we're ready. We're ready because he says we're ready. We are already clean through the word that he has spoken to us. That's a powerful truth that we need to just sit and ponder for just a moment, because, you know, apart from him, you're not going to be able to do anything. The life that is in him is going to flow into us. And so this is the fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. And so the character, the obedient heart, this loving relationship, this This connectedness to the Father, a sense of identity, this sense of purpose, everything that is in Christ starts to flow into the Christian, those who are living the Christ life. And so this life connection happens to us and we go, whoa, this is great. And that's the revelation. It's because of what Christ has done. It is because he's made a place for me. And now the Holy Spirit has drawn me and I have said yes. And so what am I? I am in this place of connectedness with Christ. And I can't get more connected. I can't. But I can somehow mess it up if I want to. That's why we concentrate on the connection. And when we do it, we understand that part of what helps us to understand how well we're connected is not just the expectation, not just the revelation, but there's a limitation. Jesus says it. If apart from me, unconnected, you're going to produce nothing. If there's ever a picture of the religions of the world, there it is. They work like champs. They are sincere. They are devout. They crawl up the stairs of some of these monuments and mosques and various kind of places, you know, to prove their repentant attitude and heart. But all of that does nothing to change their heart and spirit. In Colossians, Paul writes to people who are ascetics. They take on these rigid rules and regulations and, you know, beating themselves and denying themselves of food and various other kind of things with the idea that somehow I can force myself into spirituality. I can force myself into fruitfulness. I can force myself into productivity. And Jesus simply says that unless you're really connected, you're not going to have any fruit apart from me, unconnected. That's for this word today. Unconnected to me, you can do nothing. It's not that you can't try. You can try. You can try and try until it's trying. You'll be in a place where you're going, ugh, I just do this. Ugh. And that's what's wrong with religion. And that's what's right with a relationship with God. Because when you come to him, he makes us clean through the word that he speaks to us. He shows us what it looks like to abide in him. He establishes his authority to do that as the owner of the vineyard. And he sets these expectations. And then he makes the connection with us. And so we believe because he's convinced us to believe. He's come after us and he's chosen us. And we didn't choose him. He chooses us. And so we respond to the choice and we say yes and amen, accepting the limitation that comes with that because we intend to just stay there. And we use the word habitation for that one. This is the place in which I'm going to stay. And these words, this word remain gets repeated again and again. In some places, it's translated abide. I suppose in some places in the South and the West, they still talk about abide. You can abide somewhere, just hang out there. That's where you live, the abode where you abide. That might not be a part of your language, and maybe remain feels better, but stay connected. This is the message. This is the word from this passage for today. Stay connected to Christ. Stay in the place where you realize that all the true empowerment in your life, all the capacity to live and move in Christ doesn't depend on you. The branch doesn't bear the vine. The vine bears the branch. So it doesn't depend on you. It depends on him. And he's already done it. He is the Christ. Nothing can change that. Nothing ever will. He is the eternal Son of God and the Savior, the only Savior of the world. And he's made a place for us to become clean through this connection, this word of truth he speaks into our lives, and to be hooked into the vine. And then immediately, this life from Christ, this sense of purpose, this peace, this passion begins to grow inside of our lives because we are hooked into Christ. Where did that come from? Where did you get so sincere? Where did this level of devotion, where does this peace, where does this joy, where does this love come from? Well, it comes from the vine. It comes from Christ. It's a part of the Christ life because we are living in him. We are abiding in him. We are learning what it means to remain in him. So in a principle, return to these principles. You commit to the connection. You understand how the connection works. And then you learn to abide, to live in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remain in me, he said, abide in me. There's the key. There is the key. That's what you, when you have a handle on that, you are ready for this powerful Holy Spirit life where the fruit of the Spirit of Christ is absolutely in you, flowing through you on a day-by-day basis. And how to do it is what we're going to talk about next week. You got to come back. This is a two-parter. You got to tune in for that.
Yeah, I certainly want to go back just for a moment to the Revelation piece, because it's so important that you get this, that that when you're connected, you're clean because of Jesus. Quit trying to make yourself more clean. There are some things that the Lord will prune. He's the vine dresser. He'll take those things away, but abide, live there. The enemy's trips so many people up thinking that you've got to get it right in order to live there. Mm-mm. Jesus got it right because he knew you couldn't. He knew that I couldn't. He knew that you couldn't. And so he took care of that. This next week, would you just take some time? Would you just read over and pray over and meditate over John chapter 15 and listen to the words of Jesus and let it just sink deep in your heart? Because we believe ultimately that God is excited as you glorify the Heavenly Father through the fruitful living, if I can say it, through fruitful living. So until next week, God bless you. We look forward to seeing you then.
Hey, thank you again for joining us. We hope that our time together has been a blessing to you. And it doesn't have to end there. If you want to find last week's sermon, you can go to Facebook, YouTube, or you can listen to us on the audio podcast. You can let us know if you'd like to be further connected in a life group. But let me go ahead and pray as we close and say, God, thank you for being with us, Lord God. Thank you for helping us to carry your words, Lord God, and change our lives, Lord. Help us to carry your love to those around us. And we thank you for what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and thank you for being a part. We hope to see you soon.